Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome to the term. It's now 21 minutes past 8 o'clock. And it is now time for the question and the answer session with Mufti Ilyas Saab. And yes, without any further delay, inshallah, we're crossing over to Mufti Saab. Mufti Ilyas, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
All right, jazakallah, Mufti Saab, for your time and the dedication. And we look forward to, inshallah, spending the next hour and a half, or rather, sorry, an hour with you. Listeners of Radio Islam and Satellite, this is your phone-in program. Any concerns, we have any questions, any doubts you have, let the Mufti diffuse it. By simply calling us on 011-854-1548. I repeat the number to call. To post any question is 011-854-1548. And the cell phone number to send your SMS questions is 082-580-8070. I repeat the cell phone number to send your SMS questions. It is 082-580-8070. And the number to call is 011-854-1548. Well, Mr. We have a lengthy one, very, very lengthy question here with regards to a domestic, but inshallah we'll come to that. And the other question is from a sister, I think it is. It says, Assalamu alaikum. When attending a mayyit, what is the ruling of the reading of the Quran or Yasin, etc., around the deceased? Is it permissible to read while sitting on the floor, or is it not allowed?
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. First of all, those who are going to be around the mayyit, and when the mayyat is lying there, then those who are non-mahrams should not be there. Unfortunately, these days, this law is not taken into consideration. And people who are non-mahrams, they are found to be present there. Unfortunately, this is contrary to Sharia, to recite Quran Kareem, to make azkar, etc. It is permissible, and to sit around the mayyat and read the Quran Kareem, it is permissible. However, all these actions are not faraz, wajib, or sunnah.
All right, Jazakallah. And the other question the sister has is number two. It says, are we supposed to pay zakat on our monthly salary, and do we have to pay zakat on gold jewelry that you wear every day?
There are two separate questions here. That in order for any item to be classified as an asset in Islam, then repeatedly we say in the month of Ramadan, especially when these questions come up, that you have to have possession of that item or that wealth, that merchandise, and control over it, and ownership over it, and also haqq at-tasarruf, right of distribution, and also it has to be with you for one Islamic lunar year. So when we have all these five conditions attached to the wealth, goods, and merchandise, property, then you will have to pay zakat on it. Now, if you are projecting that it is better for me to pay monthly zakat so that when I do my yearly calculation, I do not get a shock that how much I have to pay, then that is permissible. And if you are going to be paying on your salary, then you have to do a mathematical projection that will I have so much of money with me all the time in my possession, ownership, and having a right of distribution, control over it for one Islamic lunar year. The second question, according to Imam Shafi Rahmatullah Alayhi, you do not pay zakat on the jewelry that you are using. According to Imam Abu Hanifa Rahmatullah Alayhi, yes, if the jewelry is over the zakat nisab, then you will have to pay zakat on it, irrespective of whether you are using it or not using it.
All right, we had a brother earlier in the studios of Radio Islam. He wanted the question to be answered. The question was that if he is owing somebody who has passed away, how can he pay that amount?
If he has been owing someone who has passed away, then obviously you must try to locate who is in charge of the estate of that person. These days it has become a pattern now that during the prior to the performance of Salat al Janaza, then someone stands up and says that if the mayyat owes anybody money, please collect it from so and so. But here they're failing to announce something, that if someone is owing the mayyat money, then they also should pay up. We are only making one track announcement, that if the mayyat is owing, what about those who are standing for Salat and Janaza, that they are owing the mayyat money? They should send it exactly as the questionnaire has posed to you, that they should send it to the estate controllers, the the executors and those who are in charge of the deceased estate, they should inform them that, listen, I owe that person so much money, and inshallah I will make arrangements to pay, and he should stipulate amount of money owed, method of payment, and so that they can put it into their records and further proceed while distribution of the estate. Technically speaking, the person has passed away, he was owing that person money. Now he does not owe that person per se, but the inheritors, the heirs of that person.
Alright, JazakAllah for the stuff. It reminds me of something that comes about the janazah. And I was standing next to a very, very elderly man, and the imam made the announcement that if anybody, if you know the normal announcement, so what happened, the body tells me that I'm owing him money, telling me in Gujarati that I'm owing him money, abe hun karwana. Maaf chen ke hun karwana. Then he explained to the brother that, no, go to his sons, and go and speak to the sons of Allah's best. Rasabi, going further, the other question is, the brother wants to know, saying, Assalamu alaikum, can Mufti Sahib please explain the reason why we cannot read namaz during the time of Zawal? Jazakallah.
First of all, there's the three prohibited times for Salat performance: sunrise, sunset, Zawal. When the Sharia has stated that we should not be performing Salat then whether it appeals to the logic or it does not appeal to the logic, we just accept it, because the Sharia has stated so. And this time that has been prohibited has been stipulated by the Sharia. However, that if you remind me, inshallah, I will check up. There is the commentary of Hujjatullah al-Baligha, Rahmatullah al-Wasiya, by Allama Sayyid Palampuri. I'll check it there, inshallah.
Alright, inshallah, Musab. Musab, the other question is, I just forgot to raise it with you with regards to competitions. Which competitions are permissible to enter and which ones are not?
That is very wide and vast.
Just a bit of a...
If you, for example, have to someone over the radio station, because we are on radio, and poses a question and says, if you answer these three questions correctly, you will be given a reward. You will be given a prize. That's permissible.
Permissible, alright.
But if you have to say that you SMS your name to a particular cell number, and then they are going to put it into a lottery form or a draw form, that is not permissible.
Alright, JazakAllah for the Muslim. The other one is with regards to marriage. The sister says, Assalamu alaikum. Is it permissible for a wife to leave her husband if he does not satisfy her in the bedroom?
This is a ground for disappointment, and this is a ground for raising, and also the person can take it through the jamiat or the local bodies. So that some dissolution, prior to dissolution, we have explained in another program in detail that there is going to be a lengthy procedure. For example, there is going to be counseling, there is going to be medical advice, then there is going to be medical solutions provided, then there is going to be the law of compatibility and why it is going in that direction. All that has to be taken into consideration. She cannot unilaterally make up her mind and decision that because of this reason I'm walking out. If she does that without finding any solution, she is going to be classified as disobedient. She should follow the proper protocol and the channels by going to the ulama, the jamiat, etc., and the helpline or care line. Then inshallah she can find solution. If failing which, then she can proceed and apply for dissolution of marriage.
Alright, JazakAllah for that. Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala make it easy for the couple and all the couples, inshallah. Sister, please follow Mufti Sahib's advice and see the local jamiat, inshallah, for some help. The other question is, Mufti Sahib saying, Assalamu alaikum, when an error committed by a mazbuq, is sajda sahwa necessary?
If the error was committed after the salam of the imam, to explain, now the mazbuq, first of all, for those who do not know, is a latecomer. In Salat, in congregational Salat, while the Salat was going on, a person joined late. He missed one rakat or two rakats or three rakats, whatever the case may be. Now, while he joined, and whilst he joined in the duration that he was with the imam, if he made any error or mistake which necessitated which made necessary sajda, so then he does not have to do it, because the imam, he is his representative. The imam is his engine. So he does not have to worry as long as he is behind the imam. Once the imam terminates the salat, this mazbuk, the latecomer, now stands up to complete the salat. And whilst doing the salat or performing the salat alone now, he separated himself from the imam. Now he is alone. If he makes any mistake which makes necessary sajda, so then he will do it. Sajda, so the prostration for error or less.
Alright, JazakAllah Mustafa, we go on further, inshallah. Remember, dear listeners, this is your phone-in program. The number to call is 011-854-1548. And any questions we have, inshallah, you can also SMS those questions to us. And the cell phone number to send those SMS questions is 082-580-8070. I repeat, it's 082-580-8070. The number to call is 011-854-1548. We are waiting for your calls. Then we have another question sent in via SMS. Mufti Sapi says, Assalamu alaikum. Can you please tell me why a person cannot read newspapers and magazines in the toilet? And is it okay to sell TVs in his shop?
Those ulama who express some room for permissibility of utilizing television, not, I repeat, not for what is currently being broadcasted over television, but for permissible, shari permissible usage, then they have the opinion that it is permissible to sell. And as far as the newspapers, etc., definitely the place for toilet, you have to go there for a particular reason, and the person must go and do what he has to do there. The place of toilet is not a lounge or a luxury place or a place for contemplation, or a place for getting spiritual elevation, or a place where he's going to now become a philosopher or a poet, or a place where he's going to study academics, etc. So it is gross disrespect to read anything, even if it means reading batil through. It is gross disrespect, dishonoring the ability that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given. We do not appreciate the ni'mat that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us, that when we go to toilet. Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala, who in his time, a person was brought to him who was crippled, and he was a leper, and he was very sick and ill, and he was in a very bad shape as far as medical is concerned. And the people were discussing that how pathetic and how this person is living, in what state of misery, etc. And Umar radiallahu ta'ala who said that all, withstanding all that, still Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given this person the ability to pass out urine and stool. And that is the ni'mat which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given. As those who are having difficulty in passing urine and stool, you will then come to realize what a great boon and favor Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given. When Allah has given us this favor, then do not abuse it. Go to the toilet for the reason that you are going, and do the job quickly. Someone wrote outside a toilet, this is no place to stay.
Alright, JazakAllah, so we gone further. We have a call on the line. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Hello.
Hello, dear sister. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam. I just wanted to ask, my niece is getting married, inshallah, and we want to have a nikah at 11 o'clock in the morning on a Sunday, right?
Okay.
And then, inshallah, the brother's boy side wants to have a walima after Zohar.
After Zohar, okay.
Yeah, is that permissible? To call it a walima, is that permissible?
Alright, JazakAllah, important question. You listen to it over the radio, sister.
Okay.
JazakAllah so much. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum salam.
Alright, Mirisnabi, got the question.
Yes, I got the question.
Okay.
And this, if both parties agree, then this can be done. And in fact, it saves a lot of time, effort, it saves a lot of unnecessary movement, it saves a double gathering, it saves a double expenditure, it saves a lot of difficulties and hassle. The method should be very simple, that at 11 o'clock, the nikah takes place. Now, after that, subsequently, the bride and bridegroom, they meet. And what we call in Sharia is khalwat sahiyah, private seclusion. Now, this private seclusion, which the newly wed couple are privileged to have, for Walima to become legitimate, or for the validity of Walima, consummation of between the husband and wife is not necessary. That means relationship during the private seclusion is not a precondition to validate the walima that is going to be declared. So definitely they can have it, and in brief again, the nikah, after that the husband and wife meet, private seclusion takes place, not necessary for relationship. Once that has been done, Dhuhr Salat can be performed, and subsequently the meal thereafter can be declared as a walima.
Alright, JazakAllah. We have another call on the line. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Hello, assalamu alaikum. Hello, we lost the caller. The number to call is 0811-854-1548, and the cell phone number to call is, for the send your SMS questions, is 082-580-8070. Just before we go on further, the other question is from a brother who wants to know, assalamu alaikum, is it permissible to attend a Miladun Nabi function? Does it have any basis in Sharia?
As far as these functions, not only that, any function which does not have a precedent, a nazir, during the Khayr al-Qurun, the best of times, amongst the people of the best of times, because Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has stated, and we hear this hadith in the second khutbah for the last 30-40 years, that Khayr al-Qurun ikarni summa allazina yalunahum, summa allazina yalunahum, that the best of times is my time, Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying, and then the subsequent one, and then the subsequent one. So the people of the three eras, they did not initiate it, they did not do it, and they have not stated to be part and parcel of Sharia. And especially during our times, when these functions are classified as Sunnah or Wajib or even Faraz by some, then that is completely erroneous. Also, that in these functions, attending them, there is intermingling of sexes, gender mixing, there is music being played, and gross negligence of Salat being taken place. Photography, video has become the order of the day, and people attend, and those who organize them, unfortunately, sometimes get themselves involved in transactions which are not permissible in Sharia. So a person should avoid going to those functions which are not proven in Sharia.
Alright, JazakAllah for that question. We have anonymous sister on the line. Assalamu alaikum, sister.
Wa alaikum salam.
Jee, sister.
Alhamdulillah. I've got a family. She went to Durban for an orif with her grandchild. It's coming back time. The child had an accident and her leg was paining. So she made a wasiyat and asked Allah Ta'ala to make it at her own home if the child gets better. And I was invited to the orif and I was fasting that day. That night I dreamt of a sister that had passed away 40 years ago.
Hello, sister. All right, JazakAllah for your call.
Okay. What's she trying to say?
Anyway, inshallah, let's carry on. The time is now 20 minutes to 9 o'clock. The number to call is 0811-854-1548. We have a number of questions have come through. We have a very, very lengthy question here with regards to a domestic worker. And let me just go through this. It will take about 2 to 3 minutes. Please stop and listen to this. It says, please could somebody help me as I am in great trouble. I am a domestic worker who has worked for the same family for many years. I am working for the daughter of my previous employer. When the daughter married, she wanted me to work for her. She has recently had a baby, but the poor child is neglected and ignored by his mother. I am left to look after him at all times of the day and night. My employer is very young and inexperienced, and she spends a lot of time at work. When she comes back at night, she is so tired to look after him. I bath him, I feed him, and I spend a lot of time with him. Even during the night, I get up when I hear him crying. She really doesn't care for him very well. She said further, about a month ago she went out with her husband and they came back very, very late. I did not know what to do because the baby had not been fed since the afternoon and was crying so much. I was left all alone in the house with no money and no food for the baby. I could not contact anybody as the phone was locked. I looked after the baby as best as I could, but he was crying and screaming for food, and I did not have anything to give him. The only thing I could think of doing to make him quiet was to give him my breast. It started to suckle, and eventually he went to sleep. When my employers came back, I was angry and shouted at them. It says, "Domestic, how can you leave us alone? All day without telling me what to do, and the baby has not had any food." And the wife says that, "Oh, sorry, Josephine, we forgot about it completely. You are the father. Aren't you supposed to remind me about the food?" The husband says, "Don't blame me. It's not my job." The wife says, "Thank you, Josephine, but tell me, why did you do, what did you do to stop the baby from crying?" The domestic says, "I breastfed your baby." Now, it says for the Muftisab that they looked at me in shock but did not say anything. 2 days later, her husband came to me and said that I was to go with him to his private doctor. He wanted me to have a blood test. This I did, but was worried about it. A few days later, I was busy with the baby when both my employers came into the room, and they screamed at me, and he said that the results of the blood test I had taken had come back positive. I was HIV positive. This was a shock to me. I shouted back, "That what do you mean? I'm HIV positive? No, I cannot be." He just shouted and screamed at me. He was going to kill me, to have the police arrest me. He was going to throw me out of the house. On and on it went. I was crying and they were shouting. How can you tell a person something like this and then shout at them and scream and make them feel so bad? Don't they have any care about me? I have worked for the family for many years, given my whole life to them, helping her mother to bring up her and all her brothers and sisters. I have been paid little for my work but stayed with the family out of loyalty. She has even played with my own children, eaten with them. Now they treat me like this. I've worked so hard for them, and I'm working very hard for the daughter with no thought of myself. I help her with everything. I am not a young person anymore, but I still work. What is going to happen to me now? What am I to do? Please, somebody help me. Please have your response to this. I thought we speak about it last night. Then I thought, let's leave it for tonight. Inshallah, we'd like to get your response on this matter. Move this up.
Concerning this question, it was posed to me, and Zakaria Zamir, in his program that was broadcasted last Sunday between Maghrib and Isha, this was discussed, and I commented on it for half an hour.
Right.
It has already been handled by me, and I've commented and advised the father of the child, the mother of the child, and also what to do with the child now, and also advised her, the maid. Basically, about the maid, we have stated that he should find another job and not be with these people. Yeah.
All right, JazakAllah, we've gone further, and I think we have a call, or sorry, we have a few questions on the computer screen. The one being, that must iqama be given if you read namaz on your own?
It is very good to do so. However, if iqama is not given, then the salat is valid. But to give iqama is very nice, rewardable, mustahab.
All right, you've gone further. What happens to a woman who controls her husband, it says, and talks bad about his family? What happens to her and what's her status?
They should not ask that. They should ask what happened to the man. He's supposed to be doing something about this. It is rather unfortunate that he is now in control, and if he is going to control and bully the husband around, then inevitably that house is going to, sooner or later, crumble and fall down and break up. And after having huge fights, they are going to eventually result in divorce. They should sit down and discuss their future. Currently, what the woman is doing is grossly un-Islamic, and she is earning the wrath of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and she is going to be classified as one showing no gratitude, no gratefulness, and she is going to be classified as disobedient. She should change the reform and obey her husband as long as he's telling her to do those things which are permissible in Sharia. Otherwise, this house is going to unfortunately break.
Alright, this is your Masail program. The number to call is 011-854-154. The cell phone number is 0825808070, and we are waiting for your calls. Listen, the other question is, Assalamu alaikum, when does a masbuk stand up for must salaz?
This has become quite vicious these days. And one group of ulama who are saying that it should be done after the commencement of the second salam. Some are saying that at the end of the second salam. And some are saying that no, commencement of the first salam. We are saying that obviously the person who is following, he will naturally realize now the time of At-Tahiyyat has passed, and now the time of Durood Ibrahim has passed, the time of the Imam making dua has passed. Now that the Imam is going to give salam, it is naturally and obviously for termination of salat and not for announcing that there is going to be a sajda sahw going to be rendered. No such thing. The person knows that after At-Tahiyyat, even if he's a masbuk, when the Imam after At-Tahiyyat gives his salam, he knows this is for sajda sahw. So we are of the opinion, humble opinion, that on the commencement of the first salam, the masbuk has got the right to stand.
Alright, JazakAllah Mustafa. And the other one is, the brother wants to know, what is the procedure when 2 and 3 rakats are Muslim Maghrib namaz?
As far as the question arises here, and the brother is having difficulty, that when must he sit down? Understand one simple rule as far as mazbuk and when to sit. After every 2 rakat, you must sit down and read the At-Tahiyyat. So even if you come in your first rakat of you miss one rakat and you join the second rakat of the Maghrib Salat, then obviously you are going to sit there. And then you are going to perform one rakat with the Imam. And after that, you are going to sit again for the At-Tahiyyat. So for every 2 rakats of performance, you are going to sit. And this is a typical trap question that we ask generally the students, that state the Salat that you can perform a 3 rakat Salat with 3 At-Tahiyyat. That is the Maghrib Salat. But if you come late, then you are going to be performing 2 At-Tahiyyat with the Imam, and your last rakat, after your last rakat, because you missed one rakat, you are going to be performing your 3rd rakat, and in the 3rd rakat, because Maghrib is 3 rakat, that is going to be your 3rd At-Tahiyyat. We have written one kitab, it is called How to Complete Missed Rakat. How to Complete Missed Rakat, it's on my website, alislam.co.za.
Alright, JazakAllah Mustafa. And we can't further, inshallah, remember the number to call is 011-854-1548. It's better you come live on air and ask your question to Mufti Saab. The other question is, Mufti Saab, could you please and kindly explain the Sharia ruling on the Pokemon game played by children?
When this game came out, then I was very surprised and astonished to see that the Arab ulama also commented. Because we were in South Africa when it came out, and when we got to the Arab states, then the mashayikh also complained and were very upset about this game and regarded it as futile, vain activity, earning no reward in this world and in the akhirat. So we also hold that same view, that this is a vain, futile activity, making a person useless. And a Muslim should value life, iman, time, and the more one values iman, life, and time, the more productive, positive productive a person can become. All these games that are designed, they are designed to take us away from the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and from making our salat on time with jamaat, and from focusing on why we have been created.
Alright, JazakAllah Mustafa, and I remember reading a newspaper article saying that it actually motivates craziness which provoke bullying and fighting amongst children, and also it's believed that schools across the United States have also banned the Pokemon games, and in Canada last year, a pupil was also stabbed in a fight. The result was they were players of the Pokemon game. We go on further, the other question is, Assalamu alaikum, if I came to the masjid and jamaat is over, then I began my namaz silently, then a late comer comes and joins me, what should I now do?
First of all, when the latecomer came to join you, then you should not get afraid. Because sometimes what happens that all of a sudden someone touches you from the back, then you realize, I am being now leading the salah. Or you realize someone standing behind you, you get worried what is happening. Firstly, you will get inshallah reward for going to the masjid, and although you missed the salat with jamaat, inshallah you will get rewarded. Now, if this is a salat that is audible, for example, Fajr or Maghrib or Isha, then as soon as you realize you have got someone who is a follower, you will now read a little bit aloud, not so loudly that the whole masjid resounds with your sound, but you will read audibly, read very softly, so that the follower knows you are leading him also. And you will complete your salat now as an imam of that person also.
Alright, JazakAllah, we've gone further. The other question is, if you wear, alright, let's leave that one for later. Assalamu alaikum, what must you do if you make a mistake after reading Tashahud or in Durood Ibrahim? Do you make a sajda?
Depends on what type of a mistake has been made. Remember, technically speaking, that the salat is over after At-Tahiyya. Now, what mistake, the weight of mistake has to be explained in order for a ruling to come.
All right, you have a call on the line. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah. Alhamdulillah, how are you, brother?
Alhamdulillah. Muftika, I want to just know that when you make namaz, does your forehead have to touch the ground? And what's the method of taking a fard ghusl, the proper method? Jazakallah.
Brother Smafi, your first question was?
Does your forehead have to touch the ground when you read namaz?
Okay, and the other question was?
What's the proper method of taking a fard ghusl?
All right, Jazakallah, very, very important questions.
Jazakallah,
make dua, brother. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Jamal Islam, the jawab to the two questions?
As far as the forehead, yes, the forehead should touch the ground. Now, when a person is going into sijda, then the recommended method is very simple. The person should put the knees down first, then the palms down, then the forehead, and then the nose. And when the person is lifting up, then the exact opposite should be done when a person is lifting out from that position. So the person should lift the nose, the forehead, then the hands, then the knees, and come up standing. As far as the ghusl is concerned, yes, that it is sometimes very surprising that unfortunately people do not even know the faraiz of ghusl and when they should be making ghusl, let alone the faraiz of ghusl. Basically, remember, in ghusl, everything will be washed and no portion of the body should be left dry. So the entire body from head to toe must be washed and must have water on it. The water must pass on those areas. Then also that water must go into the nose and you have to gargle your mouth. Once you have done these three activities, then inshallah your ghusl will be complete.
Alright, JazakAllah. We have a call on the line. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Alright, no caller. We can't further move this on. The other question is, if you wear surgical stockings and only your toes are open, can you make masah over your toes?
As far as the surgical stockings are concerned, then we do not know when this person is classified as mazur, and whether the surgical stockings are going to be classified as a bandage. Now some research has to be done whether we are going to classify these surgical stockings as the bandage or not. As far as I am concerned, at this moment we are not classifying it as the bandage. So you will have to remove those stockings in order to make wuzu or ghusl.
Alright, so the time is almost 9 o'clock. We take a short break for the news. Thereafter, inshallah, we join you. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Is it permissible in Sharia and what are the preconditions?
Alright, so what sort of insurance, brother?
Like, you know, we have this takaful insurance at the moment, and I know there was some talk about it not being permissible according to one school of thought, so there's a bit of confusion with regards to that.
Alright, JazakAllah for the call, brother. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Assalamu alaikum
wa rahmatullah. Well, Musabi, let's take another caller, inshallah, thereafter we'll answer the questions. We go to line number 2, we have another caller. Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullah.
Mufti Sahab, I forgot to phrase, I didn't phrase my question correctly. What I wanted to say is, if you were reading namaz, right? And if you're wearing maybe a topi and your forehead is covered with a topi, is your namaz and your sijda permissible? Is it valid?
Alright.
And one more question, Mufti. if you ever doubt in eating something, can you still eat it or not? Jazakallah.
All right, Jazakallah for the call, brother. Okay. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Brother, sir, can we take a third caller? We'll answer those questions, inshallah. Let's go to line number 3. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
Ji.
Mufti Sahib, I don't know if I can answer Mufti Sahib a question regarding the Middle East.
All right, go
on Iraq.
All right.
The current situation where rebels and fighters are suicide bombing. Is this permissible because when innocent Muslims are being killed? Is this allowed? Will it be allowed in Islam?
All right, Jazakallah. That's the only question you have.
Yeah, and the second one, I just want to find out on talaq, on divorce. If talaq 1 and 2 is served, can kafara be paid?
If 1 or 2 talaqs are given?
Yeah.
Mr. Sahib is asking what sort of kafara you're speaking about?
The one that is applicable in Islam.
Why you have to pay the kafara?
Why do you want to pay the kafara, brother?
Is this not a fair form of compensation?
All right, Jazakallah for the questions. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. All right, Mustafa, you've got the three questions. The one is with regards to Makkah, the first caller, regarding the Umrah.
prior to that, let me just explain something. Why Salat is not allowed in those three prohibited times, according to Shah Wali Ullah Delvi Rahmatullah Alayh, and the explanation rendered by Allama Sayyid Palampuri Kavad Barakatum, that this was the time when the Majus, the fire worshippers, should worship. So Islam has come as a unique need, and has come as a special need, and has come as a need to separate all other adyan and to give us a key method and a special method of making ibadat and not imitating the others. The Majus should worship the sun, especially also and prostrate during these three times, and regard these three times as a very special, important, significant time for making salah or their prayer. So the salah of the Muslim is not during those times. As far as these questions start with saying them, inshallah.
Alright, Yamasar, the first one with regards to Umrah, the brother says,
in the Umrah, the person went to Makkah, alhamdulillah, made his Umrah, now he comes for business, and he comes to Jeddah. He does not have to add on the Ihram and go back to Makkah. He can go and come in civilian clothing.
Alright, that answers that question. The other question, brother, had was with regards to insurance.
Temporary insurance, some ulama say it is permissible. Yes.
Alright, so with regards to namaz, the second brother asked a question with regards to namaz. The topic covers your forehead and you make sajda. Is a sajda made?
Is that valid makruh?
Alright. The other question brother had is with regards to, he's got a doubt in eating some foods. What's the masala regarding
that? When he is in doubt, the Shariat is very clear that stay away. That is an act of piety, righteousness, would make him nearness to Allah and proximity to Allah. Halal is clear, haram is clear. That which is doubtful, you should stay away and abstain from.
Alright.
So, if you want to gain proximity to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, stay away from.
Alright, Jazakallah. Definitely, Nabi alayhi salam says, Al-halal ubayyinun, wal-haram ubayyinun, ila akhir al-hadith. The third caller asked, Mustafa, with regards to the Middle East, he used the word rebels, the other used the word freedom fighters. The martyrdom bombings carried out by the freedom fighters.
As far as this, I've commented in detail in other programs about so-called suicide bombers, etc. The ulama in those areas are best to assess the situation, what is going on there. We do not even know whether people landed on the moon yet. Now people are saying they never even land on the moon. So that which is far away from us, we cannot forbid with certainty, and we cannot forbid definitely. However, jihad is from long time, and according to the hadith, jihad will not stop.
Alright, Jazakallah, Al-Jihad Al-Mawdin ila Yawm Al-Qiyamah. And the brother has the other question with regards to talaq, one or two talaqs.
Oh, when the talaq is given, there is no recompensation via kafara. There is no such thing. And those who are talking about kafara, this is absolutely an innovation and a complete new interpretation of this deed. There is no such thing that after giving one talaq, then you give some charity, or you fast, or you feed some slaves, or you feed poor people and regard that as recompensation of kafara. Once the talaq is issued, it is issued. One is one, two is two, three is three.
Alright, Jazakallah. We go on further, inshallah. We have a number of questions coming through via SMS. The one being, it says, Assalamu alaikum. Is it okay to cut one's nails at night?
It is absolutely permissible. However, you should understand something, that there is no specified sunnah detail. That which has been recorded in the books and classified as sunnah is erroneous. It is permissible to cut the nails starting preferably from the right hand, because Sharia has in principle stated that when you start something, then you start it from the right hand side. So you should tear the nails on the right, then the left, the foot the right, then the left. But inside the right, the methods which have been recorded are not authenticated and are not as per sunnah method. But the people who have written this kitab state the sunnah which is not correct. It is permissible to tear the nails in the night, provided there is adequate light and there is no food nearby. The idea and the notion that you cannot tear the nails in the night came about when there was no lighting system. So the people made a self-ruling that do not tear the nails in the night. It will fall here, there, and everywhere and pass into the pot of milk or into the tea or into the food. That is why they were so stringent about it. Now we are blessed, we have got lights, etc., electricity. So a person can tear the nails at night, provided there is adequate light and there is no possibility of falling into food, etc.
Alright, JazakAllah, and to the listeners of Radio Islam, that we have just about 5 minutes left before we conclude the program. Any questions you have, please call us right now without any delay. The number to call is 011-854-1548, and the cell phone number to send you SMS questions is 082-580-8070. We go on further. The brother says, Assalamu alaikum, or sister, I'd like you to elaborate with regards to shaping of the eyebrows. Is one allowed to shape it only without removing it completely?
Shape it is permissible, and to deepen it and whilst deepening it, when it is completely out of control, and when it is bushy, and when it is overgrown, then to take out a little bit, I repeat, to take off a little bit for the purpose, sole purpose of deepening it. The ulama, it is recorded in Shami, it is recorded in Alamgiri, it is recorded in best as ever, there is a room for permissibility for that. I add on that that this has to be done solely for the pleasure of attracting the husband and husband alone. Person doing it and going out to the public places and market places go out as adulterers.
Alright, JazakAllah, we confirm, inshallah. I think we have a call on the line. Assalamu alaikum. Hello, assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
Ji, brother.
Yeah, I've got a question for Mufti, sir.
Alright, go ahead.
The question is regarding, sometimes, you know, we use these animal skins to make sort of mats in a house, to use it as mats in a home. Is that permissible?
Alright, JazakAllah. You'd like to listen to the answer on the radio?
Yeah.
Alright, JazakAllah for the question. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Alright, we have another caller. Let's take the caller. Assalamu alaikum. Alright, we lost the caller. Do we have any other callers? No. Alright, Mufti, sir, with regards to animal skin, are we allowed to sit on it?
Provided it is properly tanned, the ulama have written that once it is said properly, that it is going through the process of purification, cleansing, etc., then it is permissible. This will apply to the skin, but not to pig skin.
Alright, the other question is, it says, Assalamu alaikum, will I become a sinner if I follow all four halal authorities?
You will, as long as you are following a reliable halal authority, as long as you are following a authentic authority which has got its checks and balances in place, as long as you are following a halal authority that is Muslim and is fearing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as long as you are following a authority that is certifying halal, not wholly and solely for monetary gain and not making it a commercial enterprise and activity, and you are following a halal authority which is supervised by the ulama ikram, then it is permissible to do so.
Alright, to go on further, the other question is, Assalamu alaikum, is it permissible to enter a competition where you have to SMS the barcode of a product or answer a question and reply via SMS at a charge of 3 rands? Is that allowed? I think we discussed it, Mufti Sahab.
That I said is not permissible.
No, Thomas Shamil, JazakAllah, we discussed it. What is a Salafi? The brother wants to know.
Salafi in this age and Salafi of those ages are different. Remember, Salafi of this age are the Ghair Mukhalid and the La Mazhab and those who are so-called Ahl Hadith. These, all these names refer to one and the same person or one and the same group. The Ahl Hadith, the Zuhair Mukallif, the Salafi, the Lamazan, those who propound that it is not necessary to follow any one mazhab, Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi alayhi, or Imam Shafi rahmatullahi alayhi, or Imam Malik rahmatullahi alayhi, or Imam Hanbal rahmatullahi alayhi, they find that it is absolutely not necessary to follow any jurisprudence or ruling of theirs, but we should go direct to the Quran and the Ahadith. Meanwhile, whilst they're doing that, they follow their whims and fancies, and they are not authorities on the Quran or the Ahadith. Meanwhile, they follow the interpretations rendered to them by other ulama, and instead of making taqleed of the great illustrious Imams of fiqh, they make taqleed of other ulama, and they don't regard that as erroneous. All the major Ahadith compilers, Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi alayhi was a Shafi, Imam Nasai rahmatullahi alayhi was a Shafi, Imam Tirmizi rahmatullahi alayhi was a Shafi, and all of them, if you look at them, they were Shafi, and they deemed it necessary, although they were great Muhaddithis, compilers of Hadith, having excellent piety and righteousness, and they were noble in character and transaction, and they were experts in the field of Hadiths, but they they felt the need to follow one Imam, and they followed one Imam religiously, religiously. But these days, a person, he understands by a translation even one two Hadiths, and he thinks he's a follower of Islam and wants to leave off following the Imam of jurisprudence. And many books have been written on this aspect, that it is necessary in our age to follow and adhere to one Imam of fiqh. Otherwise, it will lead to tawfiq, it is making mockery of these. So, we should follow one Imam of fiqh and not follow the Ghair Mukallif or the Ahl Hadith or the so-called Salafis of this age. They are misled and they are misleading.
Alright, Jazakallah Mustafa for the clarification and for the chance that we go on further. We have about 3 to 4 questions. After we're going to terminate, the one question is, in our area, after placing the mayyat in qabr, few men shovel and fill the qabr, most watch and do not put any sand. What is the sunnah way?
The sunnah way is that at least you should try to put 3 handfuls, that is the masnoon way, that 3 handfuls into the qabr. And these days we are using equipment, etc., that is absolutely permissible, and what the brother has stated, that is his concern, which is very valid, and we should not shy away from messing our clothing or soiling our clothing or for having sand on ourselves. We should participate vigorously, and this is earning reward, and this will earn us reward in this world, and inshallah when we pass away there will be enough people around to cover us up also. So the people should not be bystanders, and most of the bystanders, unfortunately, are not engaged in Quran tilawat or the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but engaged in futile, vain discussions, discussing about the dunya, and are immersed even in the time of remembrance of their dead, and even in the graveyard there, their minds are worldly inclined, materialistically driven. This is a sad condition of the Ummah of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We should participate vigorously in covering the grave.
Alright, JazakAllah Mustafa, we just received a fact. There's about 4 questions stated on that fact. But the last question on the cell phone said, Assalamu alaikum. Some people read dua after placing the janazah in the qabr and some don't. What is the correct way?
The practice by most of the senior ulama is that after the recitation necessary, the sunnah recitation near the grave, at the head side, at the foot side, then we have seen great, great ulama making no dua and coming away. However, it is written in Ahsan al-Fatawa that if the people make the dua there, then that is permissible.
Alright, JazakAllah.
And some say, no, you should face Qibla, and some say, no, you should not face Qibla. You should not make it a very vicious discussion that let them make the dua, but you should also realize that this is not Farz or wajib.
Alright. And the other question is, Mufti Sahib, with regards to fertilization. The brother sister says, in vitro fertilization, spelled as V-I-E-T-R, or vitro fertilization, Is vitro fertilization permissible if a couple can't have kids the normal way?
These are the questions by the fact.
No, that's beside the fact. That's the last one sent via SMS.
We are at the moment very skeptical about this because there is a great possibility of one person's egg and the other person's sperm, and this not necessarily be the husband and the wife. This will be sent them out through adultery. That is why we are saying at this moment we should be extremely cautious and adopt a cautious view.
Alright, Mr. Abdel, finally we come to the question sent via fax. The one being, can you read the same surah twice in Namaz, for example, Qul Huwallahu Ahad?
If a person does not know any other surah, it is permissible.
Alright. Number two, make it or break it. It says the wife says, is the divorce valid?
Who said this?
The question is that the wife says you can make it or break it. The brother wants to know or sister wants to know, is the divorce valid?
The wife does not, as a rule, have the right of divorce. So she can make and break anything.
Alright, JazakAllah. We go on further. Crying in Namaz, what is the masala?
If a person does it and we expect him to do it out of sincerity and devotion, and we have got many, many incidents in the life of Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, in the life of Sahaba Ikram, in the life of the great illustrious Imams of Fiqh, especially Imam Abu Hanifa Rahimahullah Alayh, that reciting one ayat night long, weeping and crying in Salat, and that is good, permissible, and there is nothing wrong with it.
Alright, JazakAllah, SubhanAllah. And the last question is, can we say, second last question, the ex-husband helps the wife and daughter, but what right wife has over ex-husband? Basically, can she talk to him, sir?
She should not do that. This is the age of fitna and fasad.
JazakAllah. And the final question for tonight's program is, after marriage, is it true that Jannat is not under the feet of your mother, but now in obeying your husband?
Jannat does not move that easily. You see, it remains that alhamdulillah, that after marriage also, that the person should respect, honor, love, serve as far as possible to the best of one's ability and capacity the mother. And this ruling about the mother remains all the time till the person reaches the grave. And even at that time when his mother is alive, and if he has to go before the mother, he should not be disrespectful to the mother. The orders of obeying the mother and respecting the mother, they are there to stay all the time. And when the husband comes, then the honor is not necessarily to be divided, but it should be given on its time adequately to both parties when they come in front.
Alright, and the final question is, it says, Assalamu alaikum, is niqab farad or wajib or sunnah?
Yes?
Niqab.
Niqab, when they say niqab, are they saying covering of the face?
Yes.
When the covering of the face, that is wajib. And we have written an article, is it necessary to cover the face? It is on my website, alislam.co.za. All the female sahabiyas, that means the female companions of Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, they should definitely adorn themselves in such a manner that they should cover their face completely.
Alright, and the final question was
important view that it is permissible not to cover the face.
Alright, JazakAllah, that answers it. And the last question is, the brother says the manzil by Hazrat Shaykh Zakariya rahmatullahi alayhi, he says it's very, very effective against jadu and jinnat, etc. Can it suffice alone without an amil?
Definitely.
JazakAllah so much. Alright, Murtaza, JazakAllah, that brings us to the end of this program, 30 minutes past 9 o'clock, and we really value your time. We say JazakAllah for your time and your effort, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it a means of sadaqah and jariah for yourself and the family. JazakAllah, may Allah tabarak wa ta'ala give you a long, happy, healthy life. Ameen. And Murtaza, make dua for us as well.
Inshallah.
Inshallah, ameen. JazakAllah, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.